My dear friends, I would like to speak to you tonight about something that is, I know, near and dear to your heart and near and dear to my heart also. Today is the last day of the month of March, and March is consecrated to St. Joseph. I would like to share with you a few thoughts about St. Joseph this evening. It is impossible for us to comprehend all the graces which St. Joseph received from the hand of God. St. Alphonsus de Liguori wrote some splendid books. In my opinion, he's the greatest preacher that ever existed. One of the books is called The Glories of Mary. And one of the glories of Mary is St. Joseph. If we said everything we knew of St. Joseph, we would say so little. And there's so much to say of St. Joseph. You know, reason tells us that God gives graces to the office. St. Joseph had the responsibility of defending and providing for the Mother of God and for the Son of God himself. Has there ever been such responsibility placed upon the shoulders of a man to protect, to provide for God himself and for his dear Blessed Mother? St. Joseph's purity is so lofty that it is second only to the Blessed Virgin Mary. His purity was equal to that of the angels. And St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, they preserved this purity even in marriage. St. Joseph was chosen by God himself to be the visible guardian angel of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The angels themselves were the servants of the glorious Virgin, while St. Joseph was her guardian angel, was her spouse. We ask the question, what must have been the sovereign dignity of a man who, so to speak, is one with the Most Holy Virgin, Mother of the Living God? Saint Bernardine of Siena, he says that the virginal marriage of the Blessed Virgin and Saint Joseph consisted in the union of their wills, consisted in the friendship of their hearts, consisted in the love of their souls, and that it increased to such a degree, this union, this friendship, this love, that there were never two hearts more completely identified. Never were there two souls more dissolved into one than the heart of Joseph and Mary, than the souls of Joseph and Mary. The holiness of the Blessed Virgin Mary outshines the holiness of all creatures, except the created human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, my dear friends, the holiness of Saint Joseph is entirely alike to the holiness of Mary. Even greater than being the spouse of the Mother of God is the dignity of Saint Joseph as he is the guardian of the Christ child. Saint Joseph was careful to whom he handed our Lord. Perhaps the shepherds, perhaps the kings, certainly to Simeon. That's all that Simeon wanted, was to touch Christ as you do in the Holy Eucharist. And it was Saint Joseph, it was the Blessed Mother who handed the Christ child to the aged Simeon so that he could begin his eternity. When you were a child, you played with strings, probably. Your friends, your older brothers and sisters, perhaps your parents, taught you how to make different images, and one of those may have even been Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder is a symbol of the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are many different steps on that ladder which leads to heaven, which leads to Christ. You had the patriarchs, you had the prophets, you had the kings, the ancestral kings of our Lord. And on the very top step of that ladder is Saint Joseph, with his arms stretched to embrace the infant Messiah. We remember the words of Sacred Scripture. As long as the heir is a child, Christ, the Christ child, he is the heir. As long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, Joseph's servant, even though he be Lord of all. These are the very words of Scripture. Such is the preeminence of Saint Joseph. He blessed with faith and wisdom. He was the servant which God chose to place over all his treasures, over all God's treasures. How did Saint Joseph embrace the Christ child? How did he caress him? You can do no less, my dear faithful, my dear friends. Saint Joseph never had Holy Communion once. How many thousands of times have you been blessed to receive our Lord? As Christ went from town to town, we know that people wanted to touch him. Even people were cured by the shadow of the saints, no less our Lord. There was a woman with the issue of blood for 18 years. She only wanted to touch the hem of his garment, for she knew that she could be cured. She did touch the hem of his garments. And our Lord said, "Who hath touched me?" And the apostle said to him, "Everyone is touching you, Lord." "Yes, but there is one." And he rewarded her by curing her. He rewarded her faith. My dear friends, it wasn't once that Saint Joseph touched our Lord. Saint Joseph carried our Lord as an infant before he began to walk. He played with our Lord as a child. He taught him as a young man. And he died in his arms as Jesus was about 25 years of age. He was embraced in death by God himself. Many of you are fathers, and proudly so. And many of you are mothers, and proudly so. Can you remember when your first child was born? Your heart probably beat twice as fast as normal with excitement. I'm sure you remember the time that he or she said "Mommy" and "Daddy" for the first time. And what pride you had then. Imagine, however, St. Joseph's joy when the Christ child called him as he would no other person in the world "Father" for the first time. Imagine the joy that St. Joseph had when he, as no one else could in the world, except for Our Lady, called Jesus "my son." That was the joy of St. Joseph. No man was ever as blessed as St. Joseph to live with the two models of perfection on earth, Jesus and Mary, for 25 years. It's no exaggeration to say that for St. Joseph, his heaven was begun on earth. Pilgrims travel for miles. Some of you have traveled thousands of miles to visit the place on earth touched by heaven, to venerate some sacred statue or picture, image of our Lord, Our Lady of the Saints, some miraculous instrument here on earth. St. Joseph needed no pilgrimage. He had the very fountains of grace at his disposition. Mary certainly denied St. Joseph nothing. She, whose gentle words caused the Baptist to be purified in his mother's womb, she, whose gentle tones cause the angels in heaven to rapture and the saints on earth to become ecstatic, she would address these same dulcet tones to her beloved Joseph. No one can describe the superabundance of divine blessings which inundated the soul of Saint Joseph. Just like our Lord, when he was found in the temple at the age of 12, and he went down with Jesus, with Joseph and Mary, and he grew in grace and wisdom and waxed strong before man and God. So, my dear friend, Saint Joseph, his soul every day grew in grace, in virtue, without interruption. Not for a few moments, my dear friends, did Saint Joseph see the face of God, as Moses saw the power of God in the burning bush. Moses saw the power, not the face of God. He saw the power of God for a few moments, maybe for a few hours. He was up on Sinai for several days. But Saint Joseph saw the face of God for 25 years until he began his eternity. Gold is found in the earth. The military values silver more than gold because silver is usually found deeper than gold, and that's why they have the silver star. That's why our colonels and generals, our generals wear the silver stars. Diamonds are found elsewhere. Pearls are found in the sea. These are great treasures. Your wives like them. Your daughters will love them. But my dear friends, these and much more did God put in the Christ child. These and much more treasures were found in the infant Savior. And it was Saint Joseph who was chosen to be the guardian of these treasures. The eyes of God the Father were always upon Saint Joseph, for it was God the Father who ordained that he should be the guardian of his divine Son on earth. The Holy Ghost was ever in Saint Joseph's soul. The fathers of the church teach us that there are three men who were purified in the womb. We know from Scripture of Saint John the Baptist. It is also believed that Daniel the prophet was purified in the womb. And it is also believed that Saint Joseph was purified in the womb. Thus, the Holy Ghost was ever continually abiding in the soul of Joseph after redeemed. And Jesus regarded him with the love of a son for his father. Our Lady's affections were unbounded for this chaste spouse. The angels were devoted to him because of his dignity, his office. How is it possible to imagine or describe the graces of this man who has no equal on earth? But you may say, well, our Lord said of John the Baptist, greater man hath there not been born of woman. And that's very true. You'll understand what I mean in a few moments. Our Lord said that if anyone love him, that the Blessed Trinity, he and the Father, and of course the Holy Ghost, would come and reside in that person's soul. We would make our abode in the breast of that man. Now you have a claim to that love because you hate venial sin. But Saint Joseph had a hatred of venial sin. Saint Joseph not only had a claim to that love and that indwelling because of his hatred of sin, you and I because of our baptisms also, but Saint Joseph had a claim to that special love because he was the chosen guardian of the Holy Family, because he was the chosen governor of the Holy Family, because he was the chosen foster father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Joseph treasured up in his heart all the eminent perfections which he observed in the hearts of Mary and of Joseph. If you open the heart of Saint Joseph, you will find the perfect imitation of the Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nature has formed the diamond with much pressure and time. When that diamond is taken, when it is cut, when it is polished, when it is exposed to the sun, it emits brilliant colors, a rainbow, a prism perhaps. And my dear friend, so does the diamond of Joseph's heart. When it is exposed to the brilliance of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, it displays great light of virtue. We see the reflection of the Blessed Trinity in the Holy Family. The three persons in one God, three hearts in one love. It was Saint Joseph who knew, and the Blessed Mother only, who knew the hidden secrets of our Lord's childhood. Some of them will never be revealed until the end of the world. They are sealed for centuries. Men know so little of the graces, the wonders, the wisdom, and the knowledge that is contained in the heart of Saint Joseph. He spoke so little that there is not one word recorded in sacred scripture of this patriarch. The first and greatest dignity of Saint Joseph is that he is the foster father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Theologians tell us, teach us, that the more nearly a man is destined by his office to serve the divine person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the more eminent must be the graces given to him for the worthy performance of that office. Now I ask you, has there ever been a saint called to such immediate service to our Lord Jesus Christ? Saint Anselm will answer you in a second what I mean when I say how there can be no equal to Saint Joseph. Saint Anselm says that the ministry of the apostles is the highest in the church, and that the title of apostle is even greater than that of the precursor. These are the words of Saint John, Saint Anselm. But the ministry of Saint Joseph, he says, is of a still higher and more perfect order. God did not permit David to build the temple because of his adultery. God permitted Solomon to build the temple. Solomon had plans and executed those plans to encrust the sanctuary with gold from floor to ceiling. He did precisely that because of the sacred relics which it was going to hold, the Ark of the Covenant, the commandments carved by the finger of God on Sinai, the manna that the Jews had collected in the desert. My dear friends, God will not let Solomon outdo him. God chose a temple. God chose a place in which the Christ child would be held. Firstly, the arms of Saint Joseph, the arms of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and how God must have decorated their sanctuary, the sanctuary of their hearts, and their love for the Christ child. The gold that must have been encrusted upon the heart of Joseph and Mary. That man should sleep in God's, that God should sleep in man's arms. And this is exactly what the Christ child did. Many times that those arms, those rough, hairy arms of Saint Joseph, were the divine throne of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that Saint Joseph should sleep in God's arms, as so few did. It's much startling to say, my dear friends, but true. It's much more glorious to be the adopted foster father of Jesus Christ than it is to be the adopted son of Mary. And none of us here would trade that privilege of being a son of Mary for anything in the world. But you can see how we are obliged to recognize St. Joseph's dignity. St. Joseph's heart must have been ready to burst and to melt with tenderness when he held the Christ child in his arms. You know how our Lord could not have made a more perfect creature than the Blessed Mother. He could not have made a more perfect creature than Our Lady. And so it was similar with St. Joseph. When he created Joseph, there was nothing wanting to him who was to be the father of the divine Son. And the Son, apart from the Father, would wish to give St. Joseph even more graces and blessings, such that St. Joseph's soul was always filled with grace also, but Our Lady's capacity was greater. God the Father, having chosen St. Joseph to govern his Son, his only Son, in his place and in his name, he knew well that without special assistance, no mortal could acquit himself worthily of such a noble and such a difficult task as being the foster father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord commanded Moses to go to Pharaoh, go and free my people. And Moses says, I cannot. Moses stuttered, perhaps even talking to God, he stuttered. And God said, I will be thy mouth. I will teach thee what thou shalt speak. My dear friends, if God willed to be in the mouth of his servant Moses, so that Moses could speak to an earthly king, one can only wonder what graces he gave to St. Joseph, not to speak to an earthly king, but to govern the King of Kings. Joseph was called to direct, to defend, to nourish, to instruct the Christ child in all things. The second great measure of St. Joseph's grace was that he was the spouse of Mary. According to St. John Damascene, the dignity of the spouse of Mary is one so elevated that no human eloquence can express it. Neither is it possible to worthily celebrate the greatness of St. Joseph. According to the ancient law and the Mosaic law, the divine law, when a man marries a queen, he becomes king. And thus St. Leonard says that as Mary is queen of angels and saints, St. Joseph is king of angels and saints. God, when he ordains someone to do something, he makes them worthy of that task. Mary and Joseph were perfectly worthy by their ordination of marriage. They were perfectly worthy of one another. Mary surpassed all men and even the angels in the sovereign plenitude of grace which filled her soul. And thus it was also necessary that after her, St. Joseph, being worthy of Our Lady, St. Joseph should be the most holy human being that ever existed, that had ever existed, or that shall ever exist. Innumerable were the graces which the Blessed Virgin Mary procured for St. Joseph. As she is our advocate, she was his advocate. Each day, the treasure of graces in Joseph's heart and soul grew visibly. His sanctity increased. The charity in his heart became more ardent. What, indeed, would he not hope for? Having his spouse as his advocate, his son as his arbiter, his God as his protector, these two privileges, my dear friends, foster father of the Son of God, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, these two privileges are the majestic fountains which watered and nourished St. Joseph's soul. And there are consequences to these privileges. The first is that Jesus and Mary and their goods belong to St. Joseph. Ancient law lays down that if a treasure is found on someone's property, in someone's house, it belongs to the owner of the property of the house. Divine law agrees with human law. Scripture says, thou shalt be, God said to Eve, thou shalt be under thy husband's power, and he shall have dominion over thee, and all that is thine shall belong to him. My dear friends, St. Bonaventure beautifully expresses the greatness of Our Lady. He says that all the treasures of God and of the angels, all of the wealth of paradise, are in the soul of Our Lady, and consequently at the disposal of her holy spouse. The second consequence of these two great privileges is that Joseph had the right to command the Son of God and the Mother of God. No other person on earth had that right. St. Peter Damian says that Mary does not merely request, but she commands, for she is Queen of Heaven. St. Joseph, if he pleases, commands his spouse by the power given to God, by the power given him by God, and by the laws of marriage. It's true that St. Joseph was so humble, as all the husbands here, and he had such veneration for his spouse, as all the husbands here, that he never exerted his right of commanding. He knew that the good ask what they might command, while fools command what they might ask. Our Lord Jesus Christ, dear faithful, by taking our nature in the womb of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, chose to bind himself to her honor, her service, her obedience. And also, because Joseph was ordained by God to be her spouse, he chose to subject himself to render him honor, him service, and him obedience. It's the most beautiful thought, truth, that a mere mortal, Saint Joseph, commanded the two persons, and the only two persons, who are worthy to rule heaven and earth, Mary and Jesus. Mary and Jesus are under the obedience of Saint Joseph by divine decree. All they do is by Saint Joseph's desire. All their treasures are his treasures. Saint Joseph had the right to be honored by Mary and by our Lord Jesus Christ, by our Lord, because every son must honor his father. Sarah called Abraham, her husband, her Lord. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is not going to be outdone by Sarah. The Blessed Virgin had so respectful a love for her spouse that she called him no other than Lord and Master. Whoever praises Saint Joseph praises the Christ child and praises the Blessed Mother. In my ignorance, my dear friends, I know of no other time in the history of the world when the Blessed Virgin Mary came down and thanked somebody than the one time when she thanked St. Therese for spreading and making St. Joseph, spreading devotion and making St. Joseph known to the world. The Mother of God thanked St. Therese. As Christ called St. Joseph Father, the seraphim in heaven, were they capable of jealousy, would feel a holy envy and jealousy of this holy patriarch. You perhaps know the story of King Ahasuerus out of the book of Esther. There was a man in his employment, the king's employment, who was accused of treasonous acts. The king commanded that that man be put to death. But before the king put this man to death, he wanted to verify the truth of the accusations. He investigated, and he found that Mordecai was falsely accused. He was very remorseful that he just about put his friend to death. And so he had Mordecai brought to him. The king, King Ahasuerus, took the crown from his own head and placed it upon Mordecai. He took the royal robes from his own back, put them upon Mordecai. He took his own horse and his own son. He put Mordecai upon the horse. He made his son, the prince, the servant to Mordecai. And he had his son, the prince, proclaim as he led Mordecai throughout the streets, how the king hath loved his faithful servant, how the king hath rewarded his faithful servant. My dear friends, there's a parallel here. But even it limps because of the greatness of St. Joseph. God has done the same with St. Joseph, his servant, pronouncing his greatness. But the only difference is that King Ahasuerus could only reward as a king, whereas God rewards as a God. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.